Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the doctrine of godliness. Since we become like the object we worship, we must determine whether we worship the true God or an idol of our hearts and minds. Truly knowing God leads us to authentic, godly living. Grab your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truth so that you can become more like your Savior, Jesus.
Grab your copy of God's Word this morning and turn with me to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and chapter 9 this morning. As you're turning there, we're studying God's Word and allowing God to speak to us today, and every time that we open the Word, God speaks. And so today, we want to hear God speak to us about a critical spiritual discipline that we need to be practicing to be godly and to live godly lives, and that is the principle of giving, the practice of giving, your giving, my giving, stewarding what God has given to us. God's a gracious giver, amen? Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. And if you've experienced God's grace, that is the amazing grace that saved us, it is a gift of God, freely given. You and I didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, that's certainly true. But He graciously gives that grace to us, and that grace that we receive changes us, it transforms us, and we learn the power and the joy of giving graciously because we've received a gift from God. And when that truth is in you, it transforms your life. And Paul's going to speak about that actually in chapter 8 and chapter 9. There's 15 different principles about giving in life. And all woven throughout those 15 principles, you'll find it over and over and over again, Paul mentioning grace. Grace is the secret. Grace is the key. And your life and my life, listen, our generosity, our level of giving is a direct reflection of what we believe about grace that we've experienced and that we received. I want you to learn the power of being a grace giver, to practice being a grace giver and growing in giving that grace to others, not just spiritually, but also blessing others because God has so richly blessed us. In a moment, we're going to stand and read this section in chapter 9. We're only going to do two principles, not all 15 today, but you can go back and read on that at any time and just meditate over these two chapters. Probably the most condensed discussion you'll find anywhere about giving in life and giving of our material benefits and the blessings that God has given us. But when we stand in just a moment, one day we're going to stand before God. And as we read this, we realize we have to give an account for our giving, Lord, what we stewarded in life. Not just the time that what we spend our time with, not just the talents that God has given each one of us, but also what He has given us, what we have stewarded of our possessions. We have to give an account for that one day before God. And my prayer is that when you stand, you will hear Him say, I will hear Him say, we will hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, for that to happen, we need to understand these principles so that we're prepared for that day when we stand before Him. And so I want you to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. We'll cover all the way down through verse 9 this morning. But hear what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And these principles are real for us today. As Paul speaks about giving and his confidence in the generosity of this church in Corinth in that day. And I believe the confidence that we should have as a church in giving today. Now, concerning the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Spirit of God, speak to our hearts today and teach us two simple principles to apply in our lives that help us, Lord, to steward faithfully, Lord, what you have entrusted to us, to leverage it, Lord, for the kingdom of God, to invest it in things that are worthwhile, that will have a lasting impression, not just upon your kingdom and your glorious name, but upon the lives of men and women and children, the ministries that we support and participate in. God, speak to us today. We may be investing in the wrong things, and we may not be stewarding your assets and resources that you've entrusted to us faithfully. And Lord, for that, we pray a spirit of conviction and that we would repent and get right, and that, Lord, we would bring glory to your name, Lord, with all that you've entrusted to us. Lord, your word is powerful. May it speak to us. May it illumine our lives. May it transform our minds. We pray now in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. When we turn to God's word here again, we're focusing on two simple principles about being grace givers. And the two simple principles are the principle of preparing and the principle of sowing. When I was a Boy Scout, we had this motto, be prepared. I learned it as a young boy. It's a very influential principle for life, to be ready for everything. You never know when something's going to happen. People are sometimes told to get prepared for a hurricane, for some disaster, and they'll do all the necessary precautions to supply and secure water and bread and food and all the other creature comforts that they need to weather the storm. But it's not just a disaster that we're to prepare for. Paul says here that we're to prepare to be a blessing. You know, not all flowing water has to be destructive, though we've seen quite a bit of it just to the west of us. But as a river, we should be a river of blessing and prepare to be that each week by our giving. And Paul was calling and writing to this church and calling for them to be prepared to be a blessing for the offering that he was taking up. In fact, as he writes to the Corinthians, he had been boasting about them. He had been telling other churches about the church in Corinth and what they were doing. And what was it that they were doing? Well, see, there was a need for the Jerusalem churches where the gospel started, right? When Paul actually had persecuted the church and they had fled. And when they fled out of Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria and literally the ends of the earth, they took the good news with them, the gospel. And that reached Gentiles all throughout the Roman Empire. Now, Paul's saying, listen, let's reverse this. All of you that have been blessed, let's take an offering and get it back to the Jerusalem saints who are being persecuted and need assistance there because of their decision to follow Jesus. They were losing their lives. They were losing their livelihoods. He had been part of that process in doing that. And so by doing this, he's demonstrating the power of the gospel to bring Jew and Gentile together as one body of Christ and one people of God. And for the word that had been sent out now to change lives so that they're going back and that word is helping them to be inspired to give back to the church and to the saints there in Jerusalem. He says, listen, I'm going to collect an offering. And he says, I want you to participate in it. And this church had made a huge commitment to do just that. And he says, listen, be prepared to give. Be prepared to give for this ministry to the saints. This ministry, listen, why? Why do you prepare to give for ministry? Why should you prepare for that? Well, beloved, because we want to reach more people. We want more people to come to the table, to the Lord's table, and to feast on what we feasted on and the gracious gift that we've received in Christ. And so that's why we prepare our offering and we prepare to give for the ministry that God has called us to do. Just like the hurricane relief effort that we've done, for the fall festival that we've done, the Fort Dobbs outreach we did yesterday, all of these things and many things that we do throughout the week, these are the ministries that we support, and we do that by preparing to give our offering faithfully as so that it can reach more people, future saints, so they can be experiencing the grace of God. Now, I know you're ready. The church has been faithful to do this. I know, listen, when you come, we come ready to give, ready to be a blessing, because we've been blessed. And we've demonstrated that time and time again as God has given us opportunity. Now, in the bulletin, and this is a rarity that we would have a bulletin insert. You can ask. It's been about 12 years, I think, since I've allowed this to happen. But the reason this is essential is because this is a spiritual gift that, beloved, you're supposed to be practicing. I'm supposed to be practicing. And that is giving unto the Lord. And when we're thinking about all that we're investing in, we couldn't list it all on here. There wasn't enough space. But we highlighted some of the ministries that we do, and we need to be prepared when we come to worship to give. David would say, listen, I don't want to appear empty-handed before the Lord. Why? Because God's been good. Amen? Amen. Do you realize how gracious God has been to you? God has given to us, and he just asks us to give a portion back to him. And so we live in a day and age, I don't know if you realize this, but people don't carry cash with them as often as they used to. I mean, they don't even carry checkbooks with them like they used to. Everything's digital now. Everything is evolving. And it's not just in giving, but also, do you realize, even companies, technology companies, are doing this with technology and using it, leveraging it. Why shouldn't the church? We're always going to pass the plate because some people want to give their offering and prepare for that with the little offering envelopes. And you prepare that every week. But for some, they do all that, especially you younger generation, right? You do everything with this digital stuff now. So if you're an adult and you want to learn how to do this, just, you know, grab your child or your grandchild. Probably your grandchildren really know how to do it, right? But they're waving at me saying, yes, I know how to do this, right? It's interesting. But yeah, there's a QR code on the back of this bulletin because some people want to prepare to give, and they do it faithfully, whether they're here or on vacation, and they just put it in, and it does it automatically. And what we're doing by that is we're preparing each week. You know what? I want to bring my offering, and I want to be a blessing. I want to advance the kingdom of God, and I want to be disciplined in that process. And so we want to enable you to do that and encourage you to do it, because that's what Paul said here. Listen, I've been bragging on you, church. You were ready a year ago to give to this offering. I told you to wait. I told you to collect a little bit every week. He says that later in this epistle. And then we're going to come and collect that offering. And he says, because of that, you prepared to give graciously. We too should be prepared to give graciously. To give graciously so that the grace of God can go beyond us, listen, like a river flowing into the community around us to be a blessing to them. And we need to realize that today. So Paul says, prepare to that. Prepare for ministry and prepare to give. Prepare to do it because you want to be an example, is what he says in verse 2. He says, I know your willingness, about which I boasted of you to the Macedonians. Who are the Macedonians? Those were the churches over in Philippi and Berea. He was bragging to those churches, say, let me tell you about this church over in Achaia, over in Corinth, modern day Greece. Let me tell you about this church. And because of what Paul said, bragging about this church in Corinth and their willingness a year ago to give, these other churches said, well, what are we going to do? Now think about that just for a moment. Your life, my life, is supposed to be an example. It's supposed to be a witness to others around us, right? Our giving should be an inspiration to others around us. It should distinguish something about the God that we worship, what we believe about him, that he's a gracious giver and that he is given to us. And what we believe about him by faith, that you know what? You can't outgive him. And what they did, this church, in their willingness and what they're doing, they inspired other churches to take steps of faith and believe, man, God can do amazing things if you just walk by faith and believe. And so this church, my prayer for South River, is like that church in Corinth, in Achaia, that we would be an inspiration to other churches through our giving. Not just financially, but also giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, our tithe. All of those things, may we inspire other churches to go and infiltrate the schools, right? And minister in the schools and make a difference and not give up on that area where God has opened doors for us to go in, that we would influence our neighborhoods and our community and seize opportunities to bring goodness and grace and the gospel to people who desperately need to hear it, that we would inspire other churches hard hit by natural disasters or anything else like that, that we would be an inspiration and encouragement to others, saying, man, choose to believe God can. Choose to believe God can do impossible things. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a church that does that on a regular basis. That's what Paul said. Listen, I was bragging on you. You were ready a year ago, and your zeal stirred up the majority of churches. Man, that would be awesome, amen, for us to be salt and light, not just to the world and to the community, but also to other churches that are pretty stagnant and need to be stirred up. And that's how we should think and what grace does in your life when you realize how awesome God is and what he is able to do. And so I pray that we would have that influence. Listen, moms and dads, you should be inspiring the next generation in this way as well. Walking by faith, setting the pace for them, saying, let me inspire you by my life of faith in the God that I worship and serve, what he is able to do. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I want to inspire my generations that come after me, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren. I haven't even seen them yet, but I want to inspire them by the steps of faith that I take. In fact, Paul would say in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, that you know what? When we gather together, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to stir one another up to good works. To stir one another up by our example. Now, that's not like, look at me, look at what I did. You ought to do the same thing. Not in proud arrogance, but we should inspire others by our faithful example. And Paul says, listen, prepare not just to give for ministry, prepare to be an example. Prepare to give as you have planned. In verses 3 and 4, he says, listen, I've sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready to give that offering that you promised a year ago. He sent an advanced party. Hey, listen, Paul's coming just like he said. Are y'all going to be ready with your offering? Be ready when he comes. Be ready to give it. You plan for it. Lest the Macedonians come with him. I mean, that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? All the churches Paul had been bragging to about this church in Corinth and what they were going to give and how they were going to be faithful to give it, all of a sudden to bring some representatives from those churches along with them, and they to show up and there not be an offering. Now that would be egg on your face, right? Paul says, I don't want that. It wouldn't just be on his face, it'd be on the church's face too. I don't want that to be the case. I want you to be prepared to give as you have planned. His integrity was at stake, and so was the honor of this church. Don't be unprepared. Don't be ashamed on that day. Don't be embarrassed by the failure to complete a commitment. I mean, listen, this is important. If you go over to the book of Ecclesiastes, whenever we draw near to God, God is very serious about this. Pay what you vow. Don't vow. Be very careful about what you say. Oh, yes, you know, I vow to do this. Or as the proverb would say, don't devote something rashly as holy. God told me to do it, and then don't follow through. Be very careful about that, right? We'll be judged by our words, right? What we say we're going to do. But if you say, or the Spirit of God inspires you and says, listen, you ought to do this, and stirs your heart to do something, you say, I'm going to do this. Do it. Be faithful. Follow through and complete that task. Why? Because one day we're going to stand before God and give an account for that. So be faithful with what you vow to do. And Paul says to this church, do this. Be prepared. Be ready. You've noticed he's saying that over and over and over again. Like a good Boy Scout. They're not the Boy Scouts today, but that's another story. It's another sermon, okay? Be prepared. Be ready. And then why? Because listen, there's an obstacle that's going to potentially hinder you and me from being ready. Notice it in verse 5. Watch this now. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, and watch this, I underline this in my Bible, and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, and then I underline this in my Bible, that it may be ready or prepared as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. You see, the obstacle to you and I being ready to give isn't outside of us, it's actually inside of us. What hinders us from giving graciously and may cause us to give grudgingly? And what is that obstacle? What is it that stops us? It's a covetous heart. It's an unwillingness to let go because we want to hold on to something. It's mine, right? I earned this, I deserve this, it's mine. It's not a recognition that God, the gracious giver, is the giver of every good gift. Beloved, do you realize that this morning? James says it over in James chapter 1. Anything and everything you and I have, and if it's good, it started with him. It may have come through a whole bunch of different ways, but when it reached you and reached me, it originated and started with Him, His will, His desire, His giving of that to you and to me. And Jesus warns us, He warned His disciples over in Luke chapter 12 to be careful, because your life and my life, it's not defined by the abundance of the things that we have, the abundance of possessions or toys that we have. I mean, you remember the old bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins. And the Christian comes along and says, yes, but he who dies with the most toys still dies, right? That happens. Realize that. Realize this stuff, the created stuff, this is the danger and the seriousness, the gravity of with it, which I'm speaking this morning. Understand, that stuff that we covet and we hold on to may cause us, listen, to not willing to give or to give grudgingly. Well, the preacher said we got to give, let's give. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that gift. You know why? Because there's no heart behind it. There's no heart that is appreciative and grateful for the grace and graciousness that God has given to us. And the danger is, listen, if we're unwilling to let go of stuff, that stuff is probably an idol in our life. And we're holding on to it, and that is a hindrance to us worshiping God. So to practice this on a regular basis, the free giving and the gracious giving that God wants us to have, I want to make sure, listen, that I'm prepared to give. And so that when I give, I'm not, well, here, take it. I don't want to have a heart like that. God's going to show us here in these next few verses, in verses 6-9, how that changes. How this principle of sowing and reaping what we've sown, how I'm not giving in a way that I'm grudging what I'm giving. I'm giving with a joy, with cheerfulness and thanksgiving, because I realize, man, I have just been blessed. Understand, listen, this world, listen, media has tried to condition you to think you're poor. Media has tried to condition, I mean, the political classes try to pit one class against another, right? And they do that in their ads. And what we don't realize, do you realize in America, we are the wealthiest nation in America. We are so immensely blessed. We have so much, not just today in this generation in which we live, but even through the course of history. We don't realize how amazingly wealthy we are and how well off we are, but we'll listen to all the materialistic culture and all the politicians that are deluded, and they will tell us, listen, man, you've got someone did you wrong, and you need to keep what you got and take what they got, and we need to have equity, we need to equalize all this out, right? Nothing but communism and socialism. Look at how that goes in the nation. You better change that on Tuesday too, by the way. All right? Okay? R is right. Just remember that, okay? All right? Righteousness is always right. And R, red. Okay. Amen. Look at the tie. Okay? Amen. I'm just preaching truth here now. I mean, one party already let God, I mean, they told God, get out of our party. So vote accordingly, okay? If you're a true believer in Christ. All right, the sermon, all right? This is about giving. I've been graced by God. You've been graced by God. Don't allow the world to define you and your life by how much you have and don't have. Let God define your life by how much you have and don't have in Christ. And realize that. And then realize, if I'm unwilling to let go of some of that stuff may be the idol of my heart. And I may be not worshiping the one true God. I may be worshiping the stuff. So these principles we practice, a good way to practice that is to be willing to let go. And how do you do that? That's this principle in verses 6-9, the principle of reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping. You see, when you sow seed, think about a farmer back then. Don't think about these awesome machines that they got out here, these green machines that drive around us, and we see all of it out here. You know what they do? They used to go and they used to practice this in agrarian society. They had to throw seed, literally, right? And they went and threw seed. I mean, that's a good way to practice. I got my hand full. I got to empty it. I got to throw it out there. And so this principle of giving is a wonderful illustration and a picture for you and for me. And if I am habitually doing this because I realize He's given to me, and I'm used to just doing this and start throwing it, it's kind of like, you know, the wise man would say in Ecclesiastes, throw your bread where? On the waters. How many times? 7 times. And see if it doesn't come back to you. Do you believe God is the giver? Amen. Then give graciously, give as he shows this principle here. Sow, and how shall we sow? Bountifully. This I say, verse 6, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is the simple principle, Corinthians. This is the simple principle, South River. This is the simple principle we have to apply in our lives. If I sow a little, I'm going to reap a little. If I sow a lot, I'm going to reap a lot. But each person determine what you're going to sow in your heart and then do it. But what you do sow, you're going to have a reciprocal harvest from what you've sown. Hey, listen, we see this principle all around us out here. I mean, you see those fields that are white unto harvest. That's not snow, though you think sometimes it's cold out there. It looks like it, right? Listen, that's cotton, right? And that cotton is there bountifully right now because the farmer had a plan and he prepared to sow the seed and to water the seed and provide for the seed and have a little faith in God to do his part along the way and keep the bugs off of it and all those things. And because he threw that seed out, you see a harvest out there is bountiful. The fields are white unto harvest, right? It's the same way with you and I when we give and when we practice this right here of throwing out seed. Now listen, if you go in your backyard into your garden and you just take one little seed and you plant it in the garden and you come out and water your little, throw a little fertilizer on it, you're going to have one bush and you're going to get some beans. Now if you go out and you plant a bunch of little beans in a nice little furrow in a row and you come faithfully and water that those plants, you're going to get a bunch of beans. Now if you take a bunch of beans and you're going to go bananas, right? Because there are going to be so many beans that are going to come up. This is the principle. How do you want to harvest? What type of harvest do you want in your life? Do you want to just put out just a little bit, grudgingly give here and there? Listen, be very careful about that. The wise man said over in Proverbs 11, 24 and 25, you can write this in the margin of your Bible and you can go read it later. I'm going to read it for you right now. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Listen to this. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. If you and I have a wise heart, what we realize is, you know what, you can't outgive God. And when you water others, your life will be watered. And by the way, when you give to the poor, do you know who you're actually giving to? The wise man says to the Lord. When you give to one who's hurting and hungry and needy and needs help and assistance and has no hope, beloved, you're throwing that seed, you're sharing that seed, you're ministering to someone else, but it says unto the Lord, their maker, the one who created them. And who knows, listen, as we've been saying in the hurricane relief recently, you never know when the shoe might be on another foot. You know, we do good to others while the power of it is in our hand to do it, because we never know when we might need it reciprocated. We might need to be on the receiving end. And so develop that lifestyle of one who has experienced grace, that we practice giving, and we practice this right here. We practice it. How can I do this? How can I do this more faithfully? How can I do this more frequently? I'm telling you, this world isn't about doing this, is it? It's about this.
Yeah.
Just the opposite. But if I'm putting this into practice, it's, oh man, I've been blessed. Watch this. Watch this. Now, this is the amazing thing about learning this principle of sowing. We sow and we give graciously because we've been graced by God. And we sow bountifully. The word literally here is a word that we get the word eulogy, a good word we can say about it. Beloved, think about this. When you and I are in this spirit, that our God is a giver, not a taker. You know, Satan is a taker. He wants to destroy life and steal and rob. Our God is a giver, a gracious giver. In fact, the last verse of this chapter talks about God's amazing gift that he gave us, Jesus. Man, God didn't withhold anything, did he? He gave you and me his very best. He gave it to us so that we could be made right with him. When we practice this principle of giving and giving bountifully, what we're doing is we're giving a good word, a good testimony of who? Of the God that gives. that we give graciously because, let me tell you about the grace I've received, the grace you've received. And it's a witness to the world around us. And as we do that, we're testifying to them of who our God is and what he's like. So we don't want to give a little. If we do, we're going to expect a little. But we can give a lot and expect that God will return an investment on what we have given. Now, when you do it, according to verse 7, do it cheerfully. Let each one give, as it says, notice this, as you purpose in your heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. When you and I determine, listen, here's how much we're going to give. We've thought about it. We've prepared. We've planned for this. We've prayed it through. God, let me just see. This is what you've given. And this is what your word tells me. I've got a plan, a predetermined plan. You know what's amazing when I think about that? Did you realize when God gave his son, he had a predetermined plan? Read about this. Jesus was the lamb slain from when? The foundation of the world. Even before God made it, he knew he would have to give his son as a sacrifice for our sin. That he was going to give his son for what he was about to make. Think about that for a moment. His plan in giving. Why shouldn't we be planning in our giving? We should be prepared in our giving. And so we give graciously because God, he has been gracious to us. But we think it through, we pray it through, and then we come and we don't give grudgingly or under compulsion. We give joyfully. Why? Because God, you see my heart. And man, I'm blessed. I love when Brother Jimmy plays that song, drinking from the saucer, because my cup has overflowed. I mean, I don't know if you, the choir sang one of the songs this morning. It was from Psalm 23. The Lord being our shepherd and caring for us and providing for us. Beloved, he overflows our cups. We've got so much. And we're drinking from the saucer. And so Paul says, listen, when you give, give joyfully, cheerfully, realizing just how blessed we have been blessed. Listen, give joyfully. You know why? Because you've been asked to give. You have the opportunity to be charitable. You're in a position where you can actually give. Realize that God has given us an ability. And as we do it, we're investing in eternity. We're investing in something that Jesus would say, listen, store up your treasure in heaven where moth and rust, it doesn't affect our investment there. No, it's an investment that has eternal significance. Now, why would we do this? Why would I do this? I do this confidently because of verse 8. And I want you to underline those first 10 words in the Bible there of verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. In fact, follow along with me how many times he says all or every right here, just in this verse. That you always, that means all the time, y'all, having, here it is, all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for, here it is, every or all good work. Stop and think about this. Our God is all sufficient to supply all that we need all the time in all the ways we never imagined. So when I give and I'm used to giving like this and I'm practicing, man, this is fun. Watch God work. Watch how he's going to do this. I'm confident he is able. I mean, are you confident? Do you believe it's all his in the first place? And you decide to steward it. We just stamp it, stewarded by Chris, stewarded by Kim, stewarded by whoever. You write your name in there, stewarded by, whatever you have. And God gives, so I can freely give because you know why? He is able to make all the grace abound to me. Now that word abound means like overflow the banks. No pun intended about money and banks, okay? Okay, listen, it's overflowing like a river. Like it just abounds to us. God just keeps, wow, I can't outgive him. I'm trying. But he just keeps giving. And he makes it sufficient. All sufficiency. Like there's a super abundance of everything that he gives. And as he gives it, we realize, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do next. This is a life of faith. Believing that God is what he says he is. Even in the Old Testament, Malachi, he says it to his own people. He says, listen, bring the tithe in. Bring it into the storehouse and watch and see if I won't be faithful to what I promise you, that I will supply everything you have need of. I'll shut the mouth of the devourer. It won't consume your assets, your resources, what you have, but I'll bless you in abundance. In fact, God says, I double dog dare you to do this. Put me to the test is what he says. See if I'm not faithful to what I will do. And the truth is, some of us haven't discovered that yet. And oh, that we would, and teach our children to discover that wonderful principle to bring the tithe and trust God that we, listen, do more with less when we're with God. It's an awesome principle to learn in life, to watch God's hand move. It helps me to realize there may be some things that I'm holding on to that are idols in my life that I really don't be giving my money to. I need to invest in the kingdom of God in obedience to the Lord and what he's called us to do. And that willingly surrendering my heart to the Lord is the key, because it's been graced by him. What an amazing thing happens. Listen, this is like, here's what happened. Do you believe God is more than able, sufficient to give you all grace at all times, in all ways, so do every good work? Here's the principle. Imagine the mayor of Charles is on his tractor out here, and he's putting out corn seed. And every time he's out there putting out a seed, every time he plants one seed of corn, here's what happens. In the house, his bride's there cooking dinner, and all of a sudden, there's an ear of corn that pops on the child's plate. He plants another seed, and there's another ear of corn that pops on the plate. He plants another seed, and immediately, there's another ear of corn. What do you think she's going to do? She's going to run outside and say, what are you doing out there? Come see this. You ain't going to believe this. You're not going to believe what's happening. This is the picture. You and I can't see how God is going to do it. We, in faith, plant the seed. And what God does in his part is, there it is. There it is. There it is. He provides. And not just material blessings. Sometimes he holds things back that might devour our resources and assets. You and I can't see it, but by faith, he promises he will do it. But it's faith that you and I have to exercise and say, I choose to believe, God, you are who you say you are. The giver of every good and perfect gift comes from you. The one who can outgive, I can't outgive you. And so always, at all times, in every way, I want to see the all-sufficiency of God who does a great and awesome work. And it's grace that transforms our lives to realize that and want to experience it on a daily basis. And when we do, and we do this regularly, we are testifying to a world around us that's saying, now let me tell you about a gracious God. Let me tell you about what he's done for my life. I'm telling you, you roll up in the mountains, and sometimes they're looking up right now and they're saying, man, what are you, you're here, why are you doing this? And you're able to say, let me tell you, he's been good to me. Oh, he's been so good to me. I can't but do this. And that's not just the ministry we have periodically or in a season that happens, like because there's a great disaster, but that's what we do week in and week out and week in and week out here at South River Baptist Church. It's why we put this in your bulletin this morning, and for you to realize, listen, this is what I'm investing in. This is who I am as a child of God. This is one who I am as one who's received grace. I'm investing in what matters in life. I'm testifying that God is a gracious God. I'm investing in souls and in his kingdom. And God, you've richly blessed me. I can't but give to you. This is the joy, man. If you're missing out, practice this spiritual discipline. Learn the practice of doing this. Give.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.